center, and coming in is Lou Hewitt-Dyke. Center net, and that scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
You can't put it in the wind column!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. We are underway on this Monday, April 14th. The final week of the regular season is here in Calgary and the NHL. We're less than a week away from the 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Lots of time for text this segment, so please feel free to jump in and chat with us. Please feel free to interact with us because we got lots to get to. But here's the deal. 80 games down, two remaining. At least one of those final two games will be meaningful for at least two periods. But the Flames have put themselves in a situation 80 games of the way through, or as I quickly do the math, 97.6% of the way through, to still be playing a massive stakes game on a Tuesday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. With Sunday's 5-2 win over San Jose, the Flames still have playoff life, and they'll go into Tuesday night with a chance to make Thursday's game 82 extremely meaningful. So here are the nuts and bolts, friends, as we take a look at Calgary's playoff path. And then we'll get more specific. But the nuts and bolts. Calgary needs at least one of the following things to happen. At least one of these things has to happen before their situation matters. A Minnesota regulation loss, or a St. Louis loss in any fashion, or a St. Louis extra time win. One of those three things, at least one of those three things, has to happen for Calgary to still be alive going into Game 82. If any one of those things happen and the Flames don't lose in regulation, and depending on some of the other outcomes, let's just say, to make it easy, if any one of those things happen and the Flames win in regulation or even win on Tuesday in their game against Vegas, they'll still be alive going into Game 82. And if that is the case, then will control their own destiny in the final game of the regular season. Now, there's a lot of ifs, right? There is a lot of if this, if that. And one of those three things has to happen to keep the door open, and the Flames still have to take care of their own business. That's the nuts and bolts of it. That's kind of where we are right now, right? We'll get into the specifics in just a second. But the fact that I can be saying those things and the Flames have either at Money Puck a 13.6% chance to make the playoffs, or over at Hockey Reference a 14.2% chance to make the playoffs, the fact that those things are still accurate and I can be saying those things without somebody arguing or telling me I'm wrong, 97.6% of the way through the season, it's pretty impressive, and good on these guys for still being in it.
Is it too early, or should we just park the worst team tank right now? Because it feels, I don't know about on yours, but from mine, it feels like it's gotten an awful lot quieter over the course of the last 2 weeks.
I haven't heard a lot of that of late. And I think a lot of team tank people have just accepted that, well, they're not tanking. They might make the playoffs. Might as well cheer for my team to make the playoffs because they're not going to get team tank. Before we get into the specific scenarios, I just wanted to play this clip to set the table. Jason LaBarbera, one of the assistant coaches, sits down with us after every home game in the Hot Stove Lounge for 5 or 10 minutes, just to, you know, usually shorter after big losses, maybe a little bit longer after some wins. They win on Sunday. And my last question to Jason LaBarbera, who is our guest that night, was, Like, what the hell does this look like on Tuesday for you? Jason is not on the bench. He sits upstairs beside Jamie Pringle, the video coach, and some other people. And then they're going through their processes as eyes in the sky. And I go to Barb's like, what does this look like for a coach? Because those two games that start at 6 o'clock Calgary time, with your game starting at 7 o'clock Calgary time, they mean everything to the rest of your season. But you also have to focus on the game. Like, what is the process going to be like? This was Jason LaBarbera's answer on Sunday night.
It's an interesting night, right? Because they're playing before us. So,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we have to just worry about ourselves and getting 2 points against Vegas. That's the most important thing, because that's what you have control over. Certainly, I know I will be certainly watching the scoreboard. You know, the players need to focus and worry about what they need to worry about as far as getting 2 points on Tuesday. But yeah, it's wild that it's coming down right to the very end, and it's an exciting time for everybody. And again, to the guys' credit, man, they've stuck with it all year.
Ready to go? That's how Jason LaBarbera is going to be looking at it.
I just wonder if he's going to be checking the scoreboard and keeping those things internally, or if he's going to be relaying them to anyone.
Well, I mean, coaches have cell phones. They can check in intermissions. I wonder if the edict is no cell phones in the dressing room.
Oh, 100%. 100%. No doubt about it.
Like, park your cell phones at 6 o'clock. Don't look at them until the game's over.
Confiscate them. You can have them back at the conclusion of the game.
Yeah, put them in a box, right? Like, you're going in like, this is
a hamper, a pail, whatever it is.
This is severance. You check your
This is the Masters.
Right in the locker, and then you go to the severed floor and you go and play your game. That's what it feels like. And if you haven't seen Severance, what a banger of a show, by the way. I digress. Here are the scenarios. So I basically, because everything for Calgary hinges on two games out of town starting at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. This is the kind of what needs to happen if this happens out of town. And then we'll read your text. Let's start with Minnesota. All Minnesota needs to do is earn a point. St. Louis needs to win in regulation. If both those things happen, doesn't matter what happens for the Flames. So if Minnesota earns a point against Anaheim and St. Louis wins in regulation, both the Wild and Blues will clinch on Tuesday night and the Flames will be automatically eliminated. That's cut and dry. If Minnesota earns a point and the Blues win in extra time, the Wild will clinch a playoff spot. The Blues will not. The Flames would then have to win their final two games in regulation to get in. So that would be scenario number two.
Are you still with us?
Okay, now what about if Minnesota does what they need to do? They earn a point, and the Blues lose in overtime or a shootout. Well, the Wild will still clinch, the Blues will not, and the Flames then must win their final game in any fashion. Doesn't have to be necessarily in regulation, because then they could pass St. Louis in points. The tiebreaker doesn't matter. If Minnesota earns a point and the Blues lose in regulation, the Wild will clinch, the Blues will not. The Flames would then have to go 1-0-1 and get 3 points to get in their final two games. And because Minnesota is the team that is in the driver's seat, I'm not going to go through like, okay, well, because if the Blues do those things, like if they lose or don't take care of their business and Minnesota doesn't take care of their business, well, then the easier path is to catch St. Louis, but Minnesota would also be in play. You'd have two paths. If Minnesota loses in regulation and the Blues win in regulation, the Flames must go 2-0. They must go 2-0 any fashion. So essentially, the Flames will either have to go 2-0 in regulation, 2-0 in any fashion, or 1-0-1 between now and the end of the regular season if anything goes their way on the out-of-town scoreboard on Tuesday night. And so it's not the most lovely situation to be in, knowing that it doesn't matter what you do on Tuesday, your fate could still be decided by about 8:30 p.m. But that's the way it is. That's the situation. That's what the Flames are facing. And now we see how it plays itself out. So we're about to get to the text line. Let's give our thoughts on it first, and then we'll hit the text. How are we feeling about it, knowing those are the circumstances? Here's where I am. Number one, if the Flames do end up after Thursday night with an X beside their name in the playoffs, they will fully 100% be full marks and deserving for what they've done. Because if they do, they will have not only walked in through the front door, they will have hopped in a Lamborghini, they would have hopped in a sports car, jammed it into sixth gear, and sped through the front door. Because for them to get in, if everything happens that sees them get into the playoffs, the Flames will either have had to go in their final 16 games 10-2-4 or 11-2-3. So if they get slight to significant out-of-town help on Tuesday and the Flames take care of their business, they will have either gotten wins in 10 of 16 and points in 14 of 16, or wins in 11 of 16 and points of 14 of 16 to get in. That is a bonkers run to finish the season. That is a run that you deserve to get in on. That is a run where a group of guys step up, answer the bell, and get in. So the Flames will 100% have gone through the front door and be playing winning hockey going into the playoffs, and they'll be fully deserving if they make it. And if the Flames make it, then one of the teams that does not will not deserve to be there. Because if St. Louis or Minnesota fail to do their job and keep the door open for the Flames, they don't deserve to be playoff teams, because St. Louis losing to a Utah team in regulation on the second half of back-to-back on home ice with a chance to win an in is inexcusable, and so is Minnesota losing in regulation to an Anaheim team that isn't going to make the playoffs, and that is inexcusable. So those teams will not deserve to be in if they miss, and the Flames fully will be. See how it plays out. Vixie, what about you?
Woo! Boys got some edge.
Woo!
I'm going to layer in just a little bit of context on this 9-2-3 run for the Flames. That started March 18th. March 18th until the end of action last night, no team in the NHL has collected more points than the Calgary Flames. They've got 21. Vegas has 21. Blues have 21. Maple Leafs have 21. There isn't a team in the NHL since March 18th that have gobbled up more points than the Calgary Flames. That's deserving if they find a way to do it for another two games and have one element happen to go their way.
Yeah.
Now, historically, history is not kind to what the Calgary Flames are trying to accomplish.
Yes. Hit us with the historical numbers.
The Flames, should they find a way in, would become the second team in NHL history to overcome a 5-point deficit within their final four games to qualify for the playoffs. The only other team to do so, the 58-59 Maple Leafs. Further, the Flames would become the second team in NHL history to clinch a playoff berth after overcoming a 4-point deficit in their final three games, joining the 06-07 New York Islanders. Only two teams in the history of the NHL with different metrics but same idea have pulled off what the Flames are attempting to do. If you're able to be the second team to do overcome 5 points with four games to go, and the second team to overcome 4 points with three games to go, you deserve to be there.
Yeah, you cannot make an argument that says if the Flames get in, they don't deserve it, because they will. That is a run for the ages. That's a run that, you know, in 14-15, they didn't put together a run like this. They surprised the hell out of everybody when they made it in, but they didn't put a run like this together to get in. And I don't know if they're going to get in. I really don't. But that's a hell of a run to make it happen. I'm going back to that 06-07 year. I'm just trying to remember. So that was, if I remember correctly, that was Wade Dubowitz who won the game for the New York Islanders in game 82 in a shootout against the New Jersey
Devils. It couldn't have been that, is it?
Yeah, I'm looking right now.
My goodness.
I just confirmed it. It was Wayne Dubowitz.
You've never made me feel older with a sentence.
The Islanders got in on the final day of the regular season in 2007, and Wade Dubowitz helped them to a 3-2 shootout win in New Jersey.
My goodness. That long ago.
Friggin' Steinberg's memory. He's old, but he's still got it once in a while.
My goodness. If you join that tier where you're the second to ever do something in NHL history,
yeah,
you can't tell me that you backdoor your way in.
No.
And the fact that the Flames need to go at least, best case scenario, 1-0-1, that's not backdooring it either.
No. Nope. And they,
they've got two regulation losses in their last 14. That's not backdooring it in.
You know who they who they eliminated the Islanders that year? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh no.
They got in over Toronto.
You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it.
You probably just could have said the last part there.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, let's get to the text line at 960-960. How are you feeling about it? Starting with Justin in Airdrie. Just got to say, I wish I had the Flames' confidence around their playoff hopes. Fair enough. So I would take it that that's not a confident guy.
In all fairness, they don't have any other choice. If you even leak a little bit of lack of confidence, you're already beat.
Evan in Calgary, this is a ride, and I love every minute of it. I look forward to the unbelievable joy and excitement on Thursday when they clinch despite the huge uphill climb. I'm 36, and if they can pull it off, it'll be one of my favorite seasons of all time. Believe, Flames fans, keep the faith, hold the line, see you at the red lot. This says from Mark in Copperfield, Pat, I'm not feeling too optimistic about the Flames getting into the dance, but I hope I'm wrong. I enjoy listening to Flames Talk daily. Keep up the great work. Thanks for listening. Eric in Dover. I really feel like this team is built for the playoffs. Tight games all season, tight checking team with a confident goalie is a recipe for a hard team to bounce. It would be great for everyone's development to at least make it in. Here's to hoping. Danny says, I've been saying it for a while and the Flames are going to make the playoffs. Mike in Bicycle says, it's about timing. Calgary's guys are outpacing the 6, 7, and 8 seed right now, but they need more runway, and they just don't have it. I'm hopeful, of course, but 15% odds are tough to overcome. If the Flames were in the driver's seat, I'd really be saying the chances are good. These fellas seem very connected and focused, but they have to rely on two inferior non-playoff teams going up against two superior playoff position teams, and that's why my glass is half empty. It is, look, let's be honest, as much as my... you know, blazing hot take about how Minnesota or St. Louis wouldn't be deserving to get in. I fully believe that. But the situation is Minnesota on home ice should beat Anaheim and get a point at the very least. And St. Louis on home ice going up against a Utah team on the second half of back-to-back, likely playing their third string goalie, St. Louis should win. But we've seen crazier things happen. We have seen teams piss away games that matter like this before. So it is by no means a guarantee, but those teams should take care of their own business, which sucks, and it sucks the Flames are looking for an upset to happen, but upsets happen, man, and 13% or 14% isn't negligible. It's not. You'd much rather it be 95%, but it's not negligible either.
What scares you more in the two-game sets? The two games the Flames have remaining and needing to go at least 1-0-1 and potentially 2-0-0? Or St. Louis at Utah versus Minnesota at Anaheim?
I don't know, man.
Where does this fall apart, hypothetically?
I don't know.
All right.
It's been such a odds-defying season in so many different ways that I honestly don't know.
I'll be honest. I've felt over the course of the last month and a half, the Flames have been done about six times.
Oh, most people.
And then it's like, oh, no. Okay. Great take.
This reads, do you guys from Kevin... do you guys think Vegas and LA will be sitting main players to rest up and prevent them from being injured before the playoffs since they're already in? I mean, potentially. Vegas sounds like they're going to sit some players for Tuesday night, which matters. Unfortunately, doesn't matter as much as the St. Louis and Minnesota games, but it does matter.
What concerns me about the Los Angeles game on Thursday is, as it stands right now, the Kings only have a 2-point lead for home ice advantage over the Oilers.
Yeah, and I think that could still be in the mix for Thursday night. This reads, I'm pretty sure Vegas will be resting a lot of players, so hopefully they shouldn't have an issue getting the regulation win. Hopefully the Kings win tonight and get some home ice advantage, so they'll also be resting. It's not that I don't care. I just don't think that's as significant as perhaps it's being made by some other people. And that's not saying that you're wrong. I don't see it as significant. Vegas is still a really good team if they rest players. LA is one of the best home ice teams in the league if they rest players. I don't think it then just becomes a gimme that the Flames are going to win those games.
Kings only have 5 regulation losses this season. It's game 79. They're 31-5-4 at home.
Yep.
That's why home ice means so much to the Kings in a series against the Oilers.
This says, put your cell phones away to not see the other results, but the big scoreboard has out-of-town scores, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can put in a request.
They can control that. If the Flames do manage that board. If Carlo Petrini is asked by hockey to not display the out-of-town scoreboard, then he will not display the out-of-town scoreboard. Jordan in Coquitlam. I understand to you know what, Jordan, I'm going to skip that one. We're not talking about Zane Parekh right now. This says, is the opposite point of view simpler? What knocks the Flames out of the playoffs? Well, we kind of told you that. A Minnesota regulation win will mean
Any point for Minnesota.
Any point for Minnesota.
Clinches for Minnesota.
Clinches them one of the spots. And a regulation win for St. Louis clinches one of those spots. So if both those things happen, Flames are out. If the Flames lose another regulation game, they're out. For instance, like if it's tied 2-2, never mind. I was going to say that they might need to win in regulation. They might have to in game 82, depending on what happens.
Yes, in
LA. Like, for instance, say that St. Louis wins in extra time and the Flames win in regulation on Tuesday. That will mean Calgary will have to win in regulation on Thursday, which means if it's tied 2-2 in the final minutes, they're going to pull their goalie. Yeah. Yeah.
You need that regulation win in that
scenario. Yeah. Funny enough, I didn't even know this was coming next, but G says, we could see the goalie pulled in a tie game in LA. Don't think I've seen that before. I've seen it a few times.
Yes.
In similar situations. This says, I really hope that missed point against the Ducks doesn't haunt me. I don't think it's going to haunt you. It might haunt the Flames, but I don't think
you don't know what kind of nightmares that individual has.
That's true. I'm going to skip the Parekh text because we're just not talking about that right now. Nick in Crossfield, guys, is a regulation win the tiebreak and then regulation overtime win? So an overtime win for the Blues can still get Calgary in with a 2-0 in the last two games. Yes, if those are regulation wins. Calgary still, as of right now, could pass St. Louis in regulation wins, depending on what happens on Tuesday. Which is why I keep saying, yes, Tuesday's important and the Flames need to take care of their own business, but it doesn't matter if what happens out of town doesn't go their way. This says... So that selective memory there, Pat, being up by two goals with 4 minutes to go against Anaheim and losing the game is unacceptable as well. Yeah, but that we talked about.
Can't change that.
You can't, like, we talked
about back to back losses to St. Louis
said it was unacceptable at the time. Yep. Like, it's not like I was like, oh, shucks, well, that doesn't matter. Like, did you go listen to the post game show or the day after? That was unacceptable too. But the Flames are still alive. And so
you can't
it's not
go back and get
memory.
Those points.
That's not selective memory. That is a BS text. That was unacceptable last Wednesday, and it would be unacceptable if St. Louis and or Minnesota don't. That is a full-on choke job if the Blues and Wild don't take care of their own business. And honestly, if they don't, I think the Flames are in. I really do feel like the Flames will take care of their business if they get the out-of-town help. I really do feel that way. So the pressure's on St. Louis and Minnesota right now. And the pressure's on Calgary, too. It's not like it's not, but like, the specter of choking away a playoff spot by not beating a non-playoff team in your final game of the year, like that is thick hanging over the St. Louis Blues and Minnesota Wild.
Well,
right,
especially
now
with how big of a lead Minnesota had on both St. Louis and Calgary, and the fact that the Blues went on a what? Did they top out at 11 straight wins or 10? They hit double digits.
Who?
In St. Louis.
12.
They hit 12.
Yeah.
So you on a 12-game winning streak in March and April, and then get into your spot and then lose it. It's a little bit of a...
You don't deserve to be there, man. Connor says, Pat, the way you described it, you make it seem like the Flames could win at a tiebreaker if they win in regulation. Maybe I misheard, but in all scenarios, the Flames do not win any of the tiebreakers. They have to beat either St. Louis or Minnesota in the points column, full stop. You're wrong. They could still win the tiebreaker on St. Louis if the Blues don't win in regulation on Tuesday. If the Blues win in regulation, it's over on that front, and the Flames can't catch the Blues. However, if the Blues, any other result other than a Blues regulation win, means the door could still be open for the Flames. You, my friend, are wrong, Connor, and that's okay. I've been wrong many times as well. Jeff in Lethbridge says, I'm feeling like it's highly unlikely. This says, anyone else both live for this type of situation, but also are dying of anxiety? Wednesday can't come any sooner. That comes from Maggie in Sherwood. Very, very fair. I think there's lots of Flames fans and Flames staffers who are feeling that way. This from Herman. Flames 100% deserve to make it. The odds are against them. The Wild do not deserve to get in. The Wild's effort Friday night was terrible. Although, give Minnesota credit, they bounced back with a banging effort the next night against Vancouver. That was a really impressive effort. This says that Islander win back then was Dublowitz, was also a shootout poke check. It was.
Yep.
Final shot, poke check, win, Islanders in. I remember it like it was yesterday somehow.
I do too. I just can't believe that it's been almost 20 years.
Well, I didn't want to hear that.
Well, you forced it on me.
I believe the Flames can and will win the last two games if they remain meaningful. Goaltending solid, scoring's improved as of late, and they have the leadership to ensure they remain confident and competitive. They also tend to up their compete at crucial times and will play up to the level of their competitors. My concern is that they need to depend on Utah or Anaheim winning. Whichever team can pull out a win tomorrow will become my second favorite team. That comes from Peter in Milk River. We got a bunch of people. Dan in Milk River. Peter, I think we got like four or five regular texters in way southern Alberta. Miles in Calgary. It's not over until it's over. If I were to choose two underdogs in the West for an upset, it's the Utes and the Ducks all day. I'm proud of the Flames. How hot is this take? Flames match up well against the Jets. I mean, the last two games against the Jets have been pretty lopsided on Winnipeg's side.
Well, you've got a team that is guilty of struggling to score and the Vezina Trophy winner.
Now, the Vezina Trophy winner who's stunk up the joint in recent playoff series. But we'll see. If the Flames make it in, they obviously deserve it. However, if they don't make it in, they also deserve that fate as well. Left a lot of points on the table, 100%. You know, their 14 extra time losses are massive for what I was talking to somebody with the Flames about this earlier. Those 14 loser points, like that's 14 losses, but seven wins, right? Like that's the equivalent of seven wins that the Flames have gotten by losing. Anybody who's a Flames fan who's been bitching and moaning at me about the loser point, well, the loser point is helping them huge.
Bailing
them out. But at the same time, you could also make the argument that, you know, three more wins in overtime or a shootout, and they're in a different spot.
They're
home and
cool in that situation.
Calvin and Airdrie, Blues will win. Blues will lose. Flames will win. And they can all watch them go to the finals and shock the hockey world. This reads, what about this perspective if you're the Vegas Knights? Is there any element to who they would rather see get in the playoffs as the eighth seed? If so, do you think they take their foot off the gas in the Calgary game tomorrow? I don't think so. I mean, Bruce Cassidy's won a Stanley Cup. This team has won a Stanley Cup. These guys know what it takes. I think what's important for them is setting the table for the playoffs and less about who they play. I think they're going to they know what it takes to set the table for the playoffs, and I think that that's what they'll be prioritizing in their final two games. Vegas is back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday to wrap up the season.
Well, and Vegas gets the first wild card spot, so whether it's Minnesota, whether it's St. Louis, whether it's Calgary, they don't care.
Bill and Okotoks, you guys got me excited. I'll go to the LA game if the game matters. Ooh. It's in LA.
Book your flights.
That's a significant. Well, not quite.
Hypothetically, book your flights.
JJ says they never say die. I could see them winning both games. Prepare for heartbreak, as they never seem to get a break either, and the other teams will win. Daryl says, so Pat, you're saying if St. Louis wins in overtime or a shootout, the Flames can still pass them. Yes, they can if they win their final two games in regulation, because then the Flames would have 32 regulation wins in a tied scenario, and St. Louis would only have 31, and that is the tiebreaker. This says, as an Oilers fan, I want the Flames to make the playoffs. We need more playoff battles of Alberta. Kevin in Kurz, Alberta says, I think Utah has an opportunity to play spoiler, and I think these teams take great pride in being spoiler, but Utah's beaten St. Louis this year. They did lose a game. Hasn't beaten St. Louis this year. I don't know what this is.
Just to that point of...
I'm just going to skip that one because it's hard to read.
Just to that point on teams relishing playing spoiler, I went to the San Jose room after Sunday's game, talked to Tyler Toffoli. Obviously, I'm friends with some of those guys over there, but any chance you can eliminate someone from the playoffs is exciting. Former Flame Tyler Toffoli, 100% in favor of eliminating the Flames on Sunday. Didn't work that way, but It is a real thing.
Adam says, I know I may be out to lunch, but I'm convinced the Flames are going to finish seventh. That would need Minnesota to lose in regulation, St. Louis to not win in regulation, and the Flames to go 2-0 the rest of the way. That's
so
what
you're
need
saying
to happen
there's a chance.
But it is still on the table.
Yep.
This reads, don't stop believing, boys. The dream is still alive. Let's go Ducks in Utah. This says, my memory never serves me well, but I think I remember the 0-4 playoff run started somewhat similar to the season ending this close. Not quite. They clinched with, I want to say, like 4 games to go. They shut out Phoenix 1-0 at the Dome to clinch in March of 0-4, I believe.
That's just your memory going, I'm even going to call them Phoenix, not Arizona. That's how sharp you are
it
in that old
Phoenix
memory
It was the Phoenix Coyotes
bank.
At that time. It's gonna
My
go,
goodness.
I'm going to tell you what game it was. That's the playoffs. They clinched in game 80 with a 1-0 okay. win over Phoenix. So a little bit earlier than this, but not super earlier. So with the two, they had two quote-unquote meaningless games. This says the Jets won the President's Trophy. Flames will win in 3. This says, have you noticed the irony that two of the teams that beat Calgary over the last 14 games are the same two that you need to step up and do the same to St. Louis and Minnesota? This says,
like, does that make you feel better or worse as a Flames fan? They hurt you one way, they can hurt you the other.
This says, here's something you guys probably didn't know. Wade Dublowitz lives in Calgary, the Calgary area now. His son and my son played at U15 AA together. Can you say it's meant to be? Ooh, there you go. Richard from a locked room in the basement of the Trans-Canada Tower. I was on Team Tank, but now on Team Go for the playoffs. The legacy of this chase will have lasting impressions with players that all games matter. I'll take this as more important than a higher draft pick. What else we got here at 960? Who would they play if they finish seventh? If they finish seventh, they play Vegas. If they finish eighth, they play Winnipeg. This says from Mark, win or lose, I'm proud of these guys, and chemistry's good for next year. And finally, has there ever been a team with 96 points eliminated from the playoffs? Yes, there has been. It was only a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, a team with 96 points got eliminated. I want to say maybe 2023, there was a team with 96 that didn't make it. Or maybe it was 18-19. There's definitely been a team recently. Yeah, Montreal in 18-19 had 96 points and missed the playoffs by 2. So that is 6 years ago. A team with 96 points missed the playoffs. So it has happened in recent-ish memory. Great stuff on the text line, 960-960. It's Vickers and Steinberg along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Monday edition of the program continues. It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you, and we've been talking a lot about Calgary's playoff push in the NHL. Well, how about Calgary's playoff push in the American League? As the number one affiliate of the Flames, the Calgary Wranglers are officially playoff bound after a very important weekend on the road. The Wranglers took a 5-4 shootout win over Abbotsford Friday night before clinching a playoff spot with a 3-1 win over the Abbotsford Canucks on Saturday. The Wranglers are clinched. They're 36-27-7. They sit fifth in the Pacific Division going into the final weekend of the regular season. They've got 2 more games to go, and there are a few different places they could finish in the Pacific Division, which will determine their playoff seeding. So congrats to the Wranglers. Back to the playoffs they go. And let's bring in the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Joe Sorella joins us every Monday here on the program. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Joe, how are you on this Monday?
Very good, thank you.
Feeling a slight, I know there's lots of work still to do, but is there a slight weight off the shoulders now that you've got an X beside your name?
Yes, absolutely. I thought the guys in the last couple weeks have really turned it around, and you know, we're starting to play the right way, starting to realize, you know, defense first, puck management, and, you know, you get rewarded with that type of outcome when you're playing that way. And I think they're starting to believe that. You know, it was a good feeling this weekend going into a team like Abbotsford, who was on a bit of a heater, on a streak of 13 without a loss, and to come away with two wins was very important for our group and just the way that we played. And, you know, I think everybody felt pretty good and, you know, doing it your own way, like not backing in to the playoffs. I think that was also important for our group to start believing in what they can accomplish. And, you know, congratulations to, you know, everyone involved, because it was a great team effort.
Tell us about the weekend and the two wins, a shootout win on Friday and then a 3-1 win on Saturday. What'd you like from your group and on the ice from your group over this weekend, Joe?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, certain guys gave us very important minutes and really stepped up. You know, Martin Furk with a, you know, a 4-goal effort, a hat trick, and then the shootout, you know, win again, right? Like goal, you know, he bumped himself up into the conversation when we were trying to pick who we were going to put for the shootout. And, you know, he stepped up. And, you know, Ignatiu really shut the door when he had to shut the door in the shootout. And, you know, I just thought, you know, everyone just doing the little things and, you know, playoff hockey type, you know, atmosphere where we knew the points were very important. And, you know, the outcome was just as important. And the guys started believing it. And, you know, when you start seeing that, it you know, it makes the coaching staff just feel like, you know, especially, you know, going through the struggles that we did earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, you almost had to hit rock bottom to start seeing what the outcomes could be, right? And I like I said, it was just a big, huge character win. And then you back it up with a real solid 3-1 win the next night where, you know, some guys that were unexpected, you know, Davis, who was in the lineup being, you know, a fourth line guy from call up from the East Coast League, coming in and, you know, scoring two goals for us. And those are two big, huge goals that, you know, that you need that secondary scoring when, you know, maybe they're checking our top line, top two lines a little tighter. And, you know, to get that step up, I think it's huge. But, you know, I just like the way we played in the third period when we were holding the lead for the whole time. And our PK and our specialty teams did the job, right? Like, you know, we scored a power play goal late in the second to make it 2-1. And then again, you just play the right way of being satisfied, chipping pucks out when, you know, you don't really have a play. You know, chipping the puck in when you don't have a play or turning the puck over at the blue line, you know, and then working hard to get it back, playing structured. And, you know, I think the guys finally are starting to believe that, hey, yeah, we don't have to win. Like, we can win the, you know, if we're hot and we're feeling it, we can win those 5-4 games, but, you know, we got to be satisfied to chip pucks out and win those 3-1 games, right? And
yeah.
I think that's important. We started believing it. And, you know, they were doing the little sacrifices that you have to do going into the playoffs, blocking shots, 200-foot exits on the PK. And, you know, it was just a real good feeling at the end of the weekend.
Joe, the fact that your group isn't like relying on other teams and isn't relying on the final game of the regular season and the fact that you were able to take care of your business. You needed 3 points in your final four games to make the playoffs, and you get four in your first two opportunities. And the fact that you kick the door down and walk in through the front door, how much of an accomplishment is that for your group, knowing, as you talked about, some of the real struggles that you went through earlier this year?
Well, like I said, our division, you know, even right now, there's maybe, I think we're at from second to sixth is maybe 8 points,
yep.
Right? Like, and it just shows you the parity in the group. And you know, if you have a good weekend, you could jump up the standing. So, you know, going into the playoffs, I think it's huge. It doesn't matter who we're going to play now. You know, we played well against Ontario. You know, we played well against Coachella that came in. And yep. we get a couple wins against Abbotsford. So, you know, those are the teams that potentially we're going to play in the first round. And, you know, just having that belief that, hey, anything could happen. And if we play the right way, you know, we're right there. And, you know, that's I think, important for our group to understand and realize that once you make the playoffs, and everyone has said it for a long time, that anything could happen. And that's, I think, the key to this whole little stretch that we put together in the last couple weeks.
We're chatting with Joe Cirella. He is the head coach of the playoff-bound Calgary Wranglers. We check in on the Wranglers with Joe every Monday here on Flames Talk. He's joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's Pat and Aaron on this Monday, Vix.
Joe, before I ask you about a couple of individual players, I just want to ask, you know, what these high leverage games and high leverage situations do for the development of some of your younger players?
Well, and you know, with what's going on, you know, we keep talking about it, they're getting opportunities. And, you know, to see these guys put in the effort that they have in the last couple weeks, you know, like I talked about earlier, you know, sometimes they have to learn. They have to see the negative things. You don't like showing all the negative, but, you know, now they're getting opportunities to see, hey, sometimes you might have to chip it out. You don't have to make that perfect play all the time. Sometimes, you know, you got to take the body, and it might be uncomfortable for you to do that. You might have to block a shot. Those are the things that get you noticed, that get you into the postseason, and that gets you, you know, maybe an opportunity to make that next jump to the next level. And, you know, we've been grinding through it for the last 2 weeks, and some of these guys are stepping up where you need them to step up. And, you know, like I said, all along with development, you know, you get an opportunity, you might get a couple, you might get one. You have to make the best out of it. And, you know, some of the guys are starting to show that maybe they can get a look if opportunity knocks.
And before I ask you about some of your key contributors of late, Calgary signs Calgary product Carter King. Just wondering what's been relayed to you in terms of what's the book on him, and is there a plan on how he might be used going forward?
Well, we got two games coming up. You know, he's coming in, I believe, tonight. He's going to get in the lineup. Where we put him, you know, we haven't really discussed it exactly, just because he's not here yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until he gets into practice, we'll see where he looks good and give him an opportunity. Again, it's another opportunity for, you know, a kid to come in and show what he can do. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. We can use all the help we can get. You know, like I said, I've only heard things from Brad, Pascal, and, you know, some of our pro scouts. that have reached out and just telling us he's a real responsible player. So, you know, that's what you need going into the, and, you know, he's been playing right to the end. He's played last weekend. And so we'll see where he fits in and looking forward to it.
A player you have had eyes on is Rory Cairns, who since the calendars flipped to April has 6 goals and 9 points in 6 games. What's allowed him to raise his level at this critical time for your group?
Well, you know, you like to think that he's a veteran guy right now in the sense that, you know, he's worked his way up and gotten an opportunity with Calgary. And now he's, you know, when we've been short, I think he's a guy that's consistently been able to put the puck in the net and get points for us. And, you know, he's shown it through his junior career where in the Sioux, where he's, you know, had the great final season of his career. And, you know, he's worked hard to get to this point and, you know, getting the opportunities to, you know, playing with our top players. And I think it's important that he continues to realize that this is a great opportunity for him to get, you know, noticed and that next contract coming up, right? So, you know, kudos to him for, you know, being consistent all year long and doing what he needs to do to get noticed.
Have you seen Hunter Brustevich's offensive game sort of round out similar in the sense that 1 goal, 6 assists in his past 8 games? Of course, he's got that storied junior career with London where he produced a massive amount of points in his final year in junior. I'm just wondering if you're seeing an unlocked comfort level when it comes to offensive production.
Well, with him, he's, again, that young guy getting, you know, quality minutes on, you know, on the power play and you know, in high leverage situations. I you know, I've said it all along with these young guys coming in, you know, it's about pace. It's about, you know, making the right decisions in these high leverage situations that, you know, can define you. And, you know, last game, he, you know, huge goal in the second period on the power play.
Yep.
You know, just shooting the puck. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything pretty, but, you know, you have good net front presence. All you got to do is hit the net, and that's what he did. And, you know, it was a huge goal for us at that time. And, you know, those are the little things that, you know, that these defensemen that get these opportunities to realize it doesn't always have to be a perfect play, right? Like, it's just a shot on goal. We have good net front. You get rewarded. And sometimes, you know, the chip off the wall is the right play instead of forcing it, you know, when times that you might think it might work early in the game. But, you know, I think our puck management and his puck management, you know, going forward, that's what he's got to realize and he's been doing. And that's why he's getting the minutes that he gets, you know, near the end of the game. And I think it's important development for any type of player, you know, to play in those high leverage situations. And, you know, he's done a good job with that.
Two more for you, Joe. We're chatting with Joe Cirella. He is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, who are heading to the postseason once again. They clinched over the weekend with a pair of wins over the Abbotsford Canucks. Two more games before the regular season now is over, Joe. You've got San Jose twice in your building coming up this weekend. What's the mindset going into those two? Is it just as simple as, hey, we're playing to win out and prepare ourselves for the playoffs? Kind of how does it look for your group in your head?
Well, that'll be the mindset going in. You know, you wanna always end the season on high notes, you know, going into the playoffs. You know, a lot can happen between now and then. You know, like you said, we signed somebody. You know, the Flames are in the, you know, in the playoff hunt. So, again, we just have to take care of ourselves. We, you know, we're tied with San Jose in points right now. You know, it doesn't, you know, you're not looking at the standings anymore, who you're going to play or whatever. You just want to get into the, you know, because all the other teams are ahead of us are playing against each other. So we can play one of three different scenarios. Yep. So all we can do is worry about ourselves and, you know, just go into those games saying, hey, let's get everyone on board. Let's get everyone up to speed. You know, we got a, you know, guys coming back from injury that could potentially be in the lineup. We got new guys signed that potentially could be in the lineup. So, you know, on that given night, like we have all year long, just be ready to play, get your opportunity, and run with it. And, you know, as we go into the playoffs, that's going to be our mindset. Who's been going and who's, you know, what's going to give us the best opportunity to win. So everyone's on notice right now and everyone's, you know, let's be ready to play and, you know, give forth your best effort and let's go from there.
I would imagine, Joe, that you're pretty unbothered in terms of who you might play in round one. Like, is that doesn't seem to be of the utmost importance to you. You'll play whoever you play.
Exactly. You know, it's like right now we'll prepare for everybody and whoever it is, you know, we played. The good thing about it, like right now, it looks like it could be one of those three teams of Abbotsford, Ontario, or Coachella. You know, we just played all three of them recently within the last month. So I think it's a perfect, you know, for pre-scout or anything like that, getting prepared for, you know, it could even be Colorado for that matter, right? Like it could be anybody. So we're just like these guys all got to play themselves. So you never know who it's going to be. But, you know, like I said, we'll be prepared for whoever we have to play. And I'm not worried about playing anybody, really. The way that, you know, we've just showed that we can play with anybody. It's all about us being prepared and playing the right way. And if, you know, we have that mindset, then anything can happen once you get into the playoffs.
Well, Joe, we've appreciated the chats all season long. Congratulations on the first step of clinching the playoffs, and good luck in the final weekend. We'll find out who you're playing after this Saturday. Congrats on making it. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate it, Joe.
Thanks, Wes. Thanks, Aaron. Pat, Aaron. I keep screwing up all the time, don't I?
No, you're good. You're good. That's good. You be well, Joe. And we're just happy you guys are going back to the playoffs. That's awesome to see. Hey, be well. We'll talk next week. Hey,
thanks, guys. All right, have a good weekend.
You too, Joe. That is Joe Cirella. He is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery as we start to wrap things up this hour. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers, Cam Hughes, Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers, and this has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.